Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast for Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Ed.
And I'm Jeff.
We're honored today to have our friend Brian Gibson with us. He's from Train International, a ministry based out of Joplin, Missouri. And I'd like Brian to go ahead and introduce himself a little bit, give us a little bit of his background, maybe share a little bit about his time on the mission field in Eastern Europe.
All right. Thanks, guys. It's an honor to be here. Appreciate you guys having me on the podcast. Like you said, my name is Brian Gibson. I serve with Train International, and just a bit about me. I'm the director there. And prior to coming to serve with Train, my family and I, we served in Eastern Europe in a small country that many people have never heard of. It's called Kosovo. And it's filled with wonderful people, more and more of them who now follow Jesus, but who previously followed the way of Islam. So that's kind of our ministry background. And
well, you're involved in pre-field training of missionaries. So let me just start with a question. Can a missionary be effective without pre-field training?
That's a really good question. I think, honestly, because we serve such a great God, we have to avoid any arrogance that would say without some special set of training, no one could be effective. So I don't want to go too far in pushing that envelope, but at the same time, just thinking of the issue of stewardship, can a missionary be effective? If our ultimate goal in missions is to make disciples, is to take this flawless and wonderful good news of the gospel and to effectively contextualize, communicate that to people who would otherwise never hear it, then I think, honestly, I can answer that question no. A quick story that pops in my mind. A personal experience. I married into a family of hunters, and I personally had no hunting experience, rarely had fired a gun, but married into a family where that's a long-standing annual hunting trip tradition. So after my first experience in this, I'm up in this big wooden box, this deer stand, with my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, and they're showing me the ropes. They're like, here's how you do this, here's what you should aim at, here's how you need to be quiet, and hey, you're going to have to settle down, and I'm going to scare all the animals away. So eventually, a couple days go by, and it's my turn. I'm on my own, and I see a deer walk by. And I'm like, all right, I know what to do. I point the gun, I fire the gun, and I got the deer. So then I realized I have no idea what to do now. And I was a little bit embarrassed to like go hunt them down and call them over to show me what I do. So I kind of wanted to demonstrate my own competency. So I'll walk over to it, and I've got my phone, and I've got my pocket knife. It's a dull pocket knife for cutting rope, not for skinning an animal. But I Google some videos on what to do to skin a deer. And so I get to work with this dull knife. It's it's an inadequate tool for what the task at hand. Anyway, I get to work on it, and when I'm done, eventually my family members come over, and I'm pretty proud of myself. Look what I did. But they assessed it really differently and said, ah, Brian, you wasted so much meat. This could have you could have harvested so much more and extracted so much more value from this. And honestly, you can see where the analogy goes, just that you can probably wing it. You can get to the field. You can survive. The Holy Spirit is drawing people actively. He's convicting hearts, and you can see a measure of fruit. But wouldn't we be wiser stewards to bring the very best to bear that we have for the sake of the kingdom?
So what you saw is you were able to, you know, accomplish something, but not in an effective way, and probably not the best stewardship.
Exactly.
And applied right. to the mission field, that's a sad situation.
That is.
Jeff, would you add any thoughts to that?
I would add that, you know, when we were out on the field, you know, when you're living there in the midst of the warp and woof of life, new missionaries come on to the field and you get to know them. And there was an observable difference between those that had pre-field training before they arrived and those that hadn't. Their ability to understand the context, to grasp culture, and to really have a love for the people, the ones that didn't have training, you know, just weren't capable of doing that very quickly at all. And the other angle from my perspective is, because you love fellow missionaries, that the new arrivals, if the ones that hadn't been prepared for how to live life cross-culturally successfully, they ended up taking up a lot of my time as I was there to actually plant a church and pastor the nationals. I was now, in a sense, being distracted from what I was doing, trying to help the newly arrived missionaries that weren't trained learn how to navigate life there on the field.
Yeah, and that's, with all respect, that's not why you're on the field.
No, it's not.
You're there for the sake of the nationals.
Yes.
So Brian, this sort of begs a question. What is pre-field training? What does it include, and what does Train do?
That's a great question. I think there's a really broad sphere and spectrum of what that entails for taking an individual or a family that wants to do cross-cultural ministry. There's a lot of skills that they need to learn. What I'm talking about when I say pre-field training and what we are focused on at Train International is really the training for cultural adaptation, for successful integration into a different society, a different culture with a different set of worldview, different set of values, discerning and detecting those and learning how to adapt and contextualize the gospel so that it can be communicated well and understood and then internalized by them. So I don't know if you've seen that recent movie. It's recent right now.
Yes.
The Martian. In The Martian.
Love that movie. Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. It's a great movie. You should go see it if you haven't. But something unique in that that I like is just the fact that the star character, in several ways, he demonstrates kind of what pre-field training is. He has this unique suit. He's an astronaut, and this whole team of people recognize they're leaving Earth and they're going to Mars. And you can't live on Mars and be healthy and not implode if you don't put on your spacesuit because it's a high-pressure environment. And so in some ways, I think that's a good illustration for pre-field training is that we're leaving our home cultures and we're deploying to a place where if we're not trained in ways to survive and then ways to actively thrive, a lot of missionaries, they might know and have the competency to make disciples if they could last there for 5 years, but that's a harsh climate. That is a difficult environment to live in. And if you can't live there for 5 years to see fruit and you're gone, then who has won? The kingdom doesn't win. The family doesn't win. The sending church doesn't win. So if you're asking kind of to that question, what is pre-field training? It is a body of knowledge, coping mechanisms, handling stress, adapting to cultural nuances, and in order to adapt to them, first having a lens by which to detect and discern them. So that's what we're talking about.
Well said, and that kind of brings up the obvious question here. What's at stake for families or individuals that go to the field not very well prepared?
Mm. I think wouldn't want to be careless at all and try to and misportray this as being primarily about funds, but I think that's kind of the angle that we consider the least. Right. So let's consider it first, which is statistics right now show that for every cross-cultural worker that is raised up, invested, educated, trained, deployed, sent to the field, and sustained for at least 2 years, at that two-year threshold, it's $250,000. That's what has been invested in the man hours or also in the actual expenses of preparing and sending a missionary individual. Mm-hmm. That's not a small investment in a secular world or in the Christian world in which we really serve. So in some ways, stewardship-wise, there's a lot at stake. There's a huge investment that's been made. I think human resource, the personnel as well. Honestly, we're not serving anyone well when we throw people to the lions, when we say, we love the Lord and we are gaining this heart that he has for the nations to know him. And then people get excited about that and that's fruit. That's what we want to see. But in our eagerness and our urgency to quickly as possible, make disciples of all nations, if we just throw people out there to the lions unprepared, untrained, they are more likely to implode on the field, which is a loss of the investment financially. It's a loss of that passion. It's usually a loss for the church because how many of us in this church of 500, how many now are going to want to say, hey, yeah, send me too, when we all just witnessed that horrifying explosion of this family that we just lost. The family comes back and they feel as a failure. They were sent, they were invested in, they were cheered on, and they failed, they faltered. There's a lot at stake.
Well said. I appreciate that. I even think of the investment a church makes to send, but eventually, likely, that family is coming back after a few or many years or maybe even decades. And the better they do, the better they'll be on return. And of course, on return, now you have a worker in the church. So in a sense, you're investing in the future servants of that church. And that's not a bad thing. Now, let me ask both of you. You know, all three of us are blessed to have come back from the field and be able to serve in our local churches at a high capacity. You know, what observations or experience have you had with missionaries that didn't have that pre-field preparation? Jeff, let me start with you.
Well, I think, you know, partially what I mentioned earlier is they struggle every day they're on the field. And I think without pre-field training, too, one of the things that happens is that because they have a desire to see impact from what they're doing, from their sacrifice they've made to get there, and they want to tell their donors and their home church people, you know, what's going on. One of the dangers of you know, not having training is to make something happen by human efforts, and so that something's measurable so you can tell the people back home. But in reality, what it is you've produced isn't sustainable after you leave, and it can't be passed on within the local context because it's more of your culture, more American way of thinking and doing church and understanding God's word than it is for the people that are actually there. And so it's not easily passed on. So in a sense, when the missionary is gone, it basically dies.
Yeah. Well said. Brian, would you add anything to that?
Kind of a unique perspective that I think Jeff shares as well is in the missionary care realm, that we are not only preparing and helping train missionaries who are about to be sent, but then on the receiving end, when missionaries come back, whether it's for a furlough or they're done or something terrible has happened and they had to leave prematurely, we see and sow into and minister to those people on the return as well. And so I see a lot of people who very articulately, very honestly, they say the last thing I want to do right now is walk into any type of church ministry. Why? What's kind of the motivation behind that? A lot of times it's the fact that, I mean, think about it. If you get missionary newsletters, 95% of what they're writing is the stuff that they sifted out, and it's positive. It's the good stuff. They want to share with their supporters and the people who love them the good things God is doing. Well, if after 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, people have heard only the positive things, and then that those missionaries come home, then there's no safety to share any of what was hard. And so the last thing that a lot of them want to do is walk into the limelight where they're greeted as heroes when there's so much to the story that they never were able to tell about their struggles, about their failures. And so they, honestly, your question is, as I understand it, is there's a capacity and the opportunity for missionaries that have served on the field to in a way be converted into this beautiful asset for the church's ministry, that they can be this incredible incubator of the mission of God. They can sow seeds into the hearts of the church and multiply the effectiveness of the church, the leaders. Well, that's all gone. If missionaries have had no pre-field training, they go to the field, they implode when they come back, the last thing that they will be is an asset. That's the last thing you can expect from them, is to actually contribute to the mission of the church, because they need to be contributed to. They're not ready to give.
They come back with shame and they kind of want to hide from everybody, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Yeah, very true. I have witnessed that. Well, we're obviously just scratching the surface, you know, something that we can only do in this podcast. We can't go as deep as I think we'd all enjoy to do. But let me now kind of move us on to another section. What about the children? Because, you know, so many missionaries are a family going out to the field. Brian, how do you guys at Train, how do you deal with a family dynamic or specifically for children?
That's a good question, and such an important consideration. Really, we group it into several different age groupings. And our pre-field training focuses on, mostly we've been talking about, is the cultural adaptation. We have another pre-field training that's language acquisition. And this is handled slightly differently in each of those trainings, but we group into three different categories for the young people. We have a 13 to 17, which is a young adult. And then we have kind of the 4 or 5-year-old to 12. And then the 0 to 3. So there's child care provided for the really young kids, but there's a unique training program that's taking place for all those who are over the age of 4, because they need to know, they need to have at least some rudimentary basic pictures of what's about to happen in this transition that's coming up. So we're training, especially in the language acquisition portion, we actually include anyone who's over 13. That's phonetics, phonology, what to do with your tongue, what to do with your lips, where your teeth are, how you're communicating and mimicking a new language. 13-year-old knows how to talk. They got that down. And so they're right there with the adults. They're participating in that, and they're being trained as well for how they can really amp up their capacity to gain language fluency. It's a little bit different in the cultural adaptation, and we back that up a little bit, but the youth and the children do have their own targeted training so they can be effective as well.
Jeff, with In Shepherd staff, you know, we're dealing with, you know, more than 200 missionaries, actually more than 300 these days, missionaries. What's the dynamic with the family? How does that play out in practical ministry?
Well, it you know, just kind of echoing what Brian says, most of the majority of the missionaries we send out are family.
And again, now that we've had a long enough time of serving missionaries in their home churches that send them, we have noticed, that again, if the family has had pre-field training, they're going to do better on the field, and they're going to be able to come back better when they return back to the States. And so, yeah, what I like about Train is that they recognize, you know, the value of equipping the children.
We use two words. We talk about longevity and then effectiveness, and that we really want to train for both, because you've seen people on the field who've got the longevity down. They're there 20, 30, 40 years, and they have no effectiveness. They're not making disciples, but they know how to live in this culture. Yeah. They're doing great at that.
Yeah.
But then you see people who have the capacity to be just immeasurably effective.
Yes.
But they don't have the longevity. They can't last long enough to really bear fruit. So we want to train for both. The ability to adapt and have that thriving, not just surviving, the longevity, as well as sow seeds for the effectiveness to say, this is a new culture, and to have the eyes to see and discern how they can be effective in making disciples there.
Yeah. And I love the way you frame it that way, longevity and effectiveness. And I think part of that, even in the effectiveness, is the whole resiliency thing. And that's part of what I like about your training, too, is, you know, what you're doing is you're preparing people to be resilient, because the mission field is... It requires an incredible flexibility, ability to adjust and to respond to challenges that you just haven't faced here.
Yeah, well said. You spoke of Orient, which is the pre-field training program, and you spoke of language acquisition. Can you explain a little bit about the other programs Train serves missionaries with?
Definitely, yes. Well, we have two others. One is aimed at the local church, and I won't go into that one right now, but that's a coaching for local churches to do global missions effectively. But the other one that's really specific for the missionaries is called Abide. And Abide is a reentry debriefing. And that's kind of an obscure term that feels like a military term, but really debriefing, that opportunity runs 5 days, and it is an extended period of time to do two things, two big objectives that have some sub-objectives are, one, to renew spiritually, to have a place where over a long period of time, several days, a lot of meals, a lot of conversation, a lot of community, there's a chance to renew spiritually for these people whose job is to give, to pour out, to just gush forth good things from the Lord. And they need to be renewed. They need to have an intentional place where they are being renewed. The other one is to process. Again, an extended time and space to process their cross-cultural experiences. And in some ways, to get some of the gunk out, you might say, that some of that is there. We rehearse in a really safe environment, the opportunity for the shaken can that is a returning missionary to open and spew everywhere. And no one gets hurt. That's great. Mm-hmm. And in that, to process, we're intentional about trying to create an opportunity for them to process griefs and losses and negative things, and then transitioning from that towards what are the gains, what are the victories, what are the answers to prayer. Because honestly, they're not two stories, but we really deeply believe that the totality of that story of what has been hard and ways that they've failed and yet met the grace of God, as well as seeing the power and the fruit of the Lord at work, that's the story that they're stewards of. And usually it's the negative story that they've never had a chance to tell, because like I mentioned, people they can't put that in their newsletters, but it needs to be told. And if it is, and if it's told well, it kind of drops away a little bit. It's part of the story, but once it's been well processed, it's not the forefront of the story. The forefront of the story can now be the faithfulness of God in those challenges, as well as the faithfulness of God in those successes. So,
well said. Jeff, would you add anything?
No, I think Brian summed it up well. And as a ministry shepherd staff with the numbers of churches and missionaries we serve, we're in the midst of really putting together a good package that we can offer local churches to help them see the value of not only pre-field training, but also debriefing in partnership with Train. So we're really excited about what's ahead.
To serve through the whole missionary process.
Yeah, through the whole process.
Preparation, on-field, and then as missionaries return from the
Absolutely.
Field.
Absolutely.
Well, Brian, we'd like to invite you back to talk specifically, as we focused on pre-field training now, to talk specifically about the value of debriefing, whether it be furlough situation or maybe crisis debriefing or certainly end of term debriefing. So we'd like to welcome you back for that. Where can people find out more about Train?
They could go to our website, which is easy. It's traininternational.org, okay. All one word. Our phone number's on there as well. And actually, people could easily find Train International right there at Shepherd's staff website these days.
Yeah, that's right. We have a deep respect for your ministry and look forward to partnering with you more as we go. Thank you for tuning in to the Facilitating the Mission podcast. We look forward to more episodes with you, including a further interview with Brian specifically on the issue of debriefing. But more is to come as well. God bless you, and looking forward to next time.